Welcome, and thank you for joining us for the Divine Service broadcast live for you from St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church of Oconomowoc, where Christ is in all things, and we receive and give the love and hope of Christ.
Jesus is the master teacher, and sometimes he teaches quite directly. Sometimes he teaches by means of questions, and sometimes Jesus teaches by means of absurdities or contrasts. And the parable today, the parable of the persistent widow, as we'll see, is one of those. Jesus says, well, imagine this, and God is quite the opposite. That's what it is. God grant us then ears to hear his word today, that we may have faith and courage to follow his lead in what he has called us to do.
We pray that in hearing God's word, your faith and love in Christ would be strengthened. Pastor O'Donnell preaches the sermon, Cross the Jabbok.
The Old Testament reading is from Genesis, the 32nd chapter. That same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from 2 Timothy, the 3rd and 4th chapter. "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the Alleluia verse and reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
I want to challenge you in Christ to do something about which you are afraid. I want to challenge you in Christ to do something about which perhaps you are filled with pride. So let's start that journey, first of all, by learning from the master teacher. Again, as we said at the beginning, Jesus is the master teacher. Sometimes he teaches very directly, as in the Sermon on the Mount. "You've heard that it was said, 'You shall not murder,' but I say to you, anyone who is angry with his brother is liable to judgment." Sometimes Jesus teaches by means of question. "Why do you call me good? No one is truly good except God alone." And sometimes Jesus teaches by means of opposites or even absurdities. And as is the case today with the parable, what we call the parable of the persistent widow. Now, the stage for this, our understanding, or how it's supposed to be understood, is told by verse 1. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and never lose heart. So again, Jesus tells this parable so that we ought always to pray and never lose heart. Let me summarize then what the parable that Jesus said. There's this righteous widow. An injustice has been done. She's in the right, but some injustice has been done. And the local judge in town is a creep. He neither fears God nor respects the people that he's been called to serve. And the widow keeps banging on his door. "I'm in the right. You know you owe me justice. Give me justice, judge." And he keeps sending her away. And then finally, the judge is just annoyed. "Oh, this woman keeps beating on my door. Okay, you get justice. Go." The point of Jesus is that if an unrighteous creep of a judge is eventually going to give in because of persistence, how much more will your Father, who is truly good, hear you and give justice? Now, consider, friends, how this persistence in prayer is both exemplified and really fulfilled in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus, as we know, is born, as St. Paul says, in the fullness of time, at just the right time in human history. And he goes through his childhood, and as the Lord begins to prepare the world for his public ministry, the Lord sends forth John the Baptist, who goes out and calls all manner of people, high and low, to repentance. And then Jesus appears to John in the wilderness to be baptized in the Jordan in order, as Jesus says, to fulfill all righteousness. And thereafter the baptism, John the Baptist points to him and says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And immediately thereafter, the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And in each and every case, whereas the first Adam, our forefather in the faith, failed, the new and greater Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, wields the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, faithfully. Faithfully. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And after those temptations, the scriptures tell us Jesus, the devil left Jesus for a time, but obviously not for long. Because as Jesus then proceeded with his ministry, he was opposed constantly. And yet he ministered, he preached with such power and conviction. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, early in his ministry, we're told that the people were marveled at the way he taught, because he taught them not like the scribes and the Pharisees who bickered about opinions, but as one who taught with authority. In fact, who is authority? And then he did all these signs, the signs that showed he was indeed and is the promised Savior of the world. He gave sight to the blind. He enabled the deaf to hear. He healed paralyzed men. He even raised the dead. And at each and every case, along the way, Jesus is opposed by those who should know better. And they plot to kill him and obstruct him in every way. But Jesus, as St. Luke tells us, has his face set toward Jerusalem. He is persistent, even in the face of opposition, Satan using his own beloved apostles. For example, in Matthew 16, Peter, Jesus teaches them, I am the Lamb of God. I've got to go to Jerusalem and die for the sins of the world and then rise from the dead. And Peter says, no, you can't. He tries to deny him to the cross. Jesus recognizes for what it is. Satan trying to interrupt. Get behind me, Satan, Jesus says. And yet Jesus is persistent, and his face again is set toward Jerusalem. Set after the night in which he was betrayed. After he instituted, transformed the ancient Passover meal into a feast of forgiveness in the body and blood of the Savior himself for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus then, pictured right over here for us, goes out to pray. Persistent. And there in that garden, as St. Luke tells us, Jesus, so burdened by the weight that is upon him, because he is the Lamb of God who is literally receiving the weight of the sin of the whole world, St. Luke tells us he even sweats blood. And in the midst of this, Jesus prays, Father, if it's possible, take this cup of wrath from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus persisting. Then within a matter of hours, an absolute mockery, a mockery of a trial. For he has literally done nothing wrong. And yet the religious leaders and others have conspired, and they're going to bring him to trial. And not only are they going to put him in prison, they're going to kill him. And they're going to kill him in the most merciless, gruesome way possible. And in the midst of this, he prays for his persecutors. Persistent in the midst of this, as Hebrews tells us, for the joy set before him. And even as is necessary, Jesus experiences separation from God for us, that we would not have to. On that cross, Jesus quotes Psalm 22 and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Persistent. And then, as he gives up his spirit, the scriptures tell us he descends into hell, proclaims victory over the captives. And as he said in the sign of Jonah on the third day, he rises from the dead victorious. Victorious. And you, friends, this is what the scriptures say. You, when you are baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you participate in the mystery of God in that death and resurrection. You die and you rise with him. You are covered with his righteousness, given the Holy Spirit, forgiven and declared his beloved child. And so that is what you are. Hear it clearly. You are not your identity. Your identity is not your sin. Your identity is not your past. You are what God declares you to be. And he tells you that in Christ you are his beloved. Beloved. And now then, friends, the challenge. And from which we have an example in our forefather in the faith, Jacob. Jacob, and now parents, if you don't know this story, open up Genesis and read it. And parents, if you haven't read this to your children, you really should. Jacob is a twin. He has a brother named Esau. Esau was born first. And Jacob, as he got older, deceived his brother. Deceived him out of the birthright, deceived him out of the blessing and anger, right? He fears for his life, and Jacob flees and goes to the land of his forefathers for 20 years. And in those years, both Jacob and Esau prosper. The Lord blesses Jacob, his wives and children, and he grows, and as does Esau. But then, you see, the promise of the Savior, Jesus, who was to come, the promise is going to come through Jacob's line. And so the Lord tells Jacob, you've got to go home. And so Jacob does. And as he goes, he sends messengers ahead to his brother, whom he betrayed. And the messengers come back and say, Esau is coming with 400 men. And Jacob is afraid. He's at this stream called the Jabbok, a tributary of the Jordan River. He splits his camp, his wives into two camps, and sends them ahead. And there, as we heard today in our reading, there he stayed. And that night, in the middle of it, a man starts to wrestle with him. And he will not let go. And towards the end, as dawn is breaking, the man says, let me go. He says, I won't let you go. He's persisting. And so then, this is one of those things that we call a theophany, or more specifically in this case, a Christophany, an appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ. He says, No longer are you going to be called Jacob. From now on, Jacob, by the way, means he deceives. From now on, you will be called Israel, he who wrestles with God. Friends, here's the challenge. We have been reconciled to God by his grace. We have been forgiven. And in spite of our failures and our past, God forgives us and has called us his own beloved. And he calls us as his beloved to participate in this ministry, as it were, of reconciliation. And so I ask you, who's your Esau? Who is your Esau? Of whom you're afraid, and you don't know how you're going to do this. Who is your Jacob? Perhaps you're filled with pride, and you're in the right, and you were betrayed. Who's your Jacob? Learn then from our father in the faith, Jacob. Learn especially in the face of something that you think is too hard for you. Learn from our Lord Jesus and pray. Take your scriptures and read and say, Lord, I don't know how this can be. I don't know how to do this. I'm afraid. Or admit it to God, and maybe you never have. I'm so betrayed. And I know I have to do this. How? But you see, there's no avoiding it. And my suspicion is, I can tell by the look on a lot of faces here, you know who we're talking about in your life. So friends, remember who you are. Remember that you are God's beloved. Remember that you are forgiven and clothed with His righteousness and have the Holy Spirit. And so, friends, so help us, God. Let each of us, as the Lord calls us, let's cross the Jabbok. May God give us strength and courage to do so. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.